Hey, welcome back to S&P Now. This is episode 56 for July 22nd. Got that right. Josh, who's sponsoring us today?
This week's episode is brought to you by Bank CDA. What is your relationship status with your bank? It's time to go steady with Bank CDA. You want local? You want flexible? You want Bank CDA. To learn more, please visit bankcda.com.
If you used multiple banks, would you be, it's complicated?
I can't. That ad cracks me up.
Like Bernie Madoff.
Just using...
It's complicated with his bank relationship.
Yes.
Yeah.
What is that a reference to?
The white-collar criminal that got arrested for... Yeah.
Who's the guy who's like the newspaper tycoon that's not Bernie Madoff, but it's like...
J. Jonah Jameson.
No.
Bring me Spider-Man.
Jesus.
Need pictures of Spider-Man.
No, it's a real person. He's Australian.
Be Australian.
Hugh Jackman.
No, he's a... Come on!
Irwin.
Oh, R.I.P., bro.
I think I'm just naming
Mel Gibson.
Australians.
What's this guy's
that
name?
Mel Gibson is Australian. I forget about that sometimes.
Because I didn't know that until just recently.
That's right.
Rupert
Murdoch.
Murdoch. I got him.
He is a newspaper.
Didn't he have like a blood feud with like Eminem at one point?
That's worth looking into.
I'm wrong. I could be mixing pop cultures. But,
could be.
I did. I mean,
yeah, it's cool.
Bernie Madoff.
Let's talk about our he's favorite Australians real quick,
then,
though.
So I don't think
favorite. The Hemsworth? Except for that one Hemsworth, like the one that's in.
Hey, Monica's here, everyone.
Hey, guys, it's Monica.
Wait, Chris is beautiful.
For real. But the one that's in Westworld, what's that one?
Liam? Is that Liam Hemsworth?
No, he was married to Miley Cyrus. He's good. There's a third one, though, and I can't remember. Is that right?
I'm going to turn the gain up.
The third Hemsworth?
The other Hemsworth. Yeah, other that Hemsworth. One's not attractive.
That's a shame.
It really is.
Can you imagine having Chris as your brother and not being cute yourself? Like, not even a little bit.
What about Clint Eastwood's son?
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Except for I followed him on Instagram. Not a brain in that boy's body. Bummed me out.
When you look like that, though, do you really need a brain?
If I'm reading your posts and it looks like my dad wrote the post after and I did Eddie Joe's, like, I'm probably not going to follow you anymore. I don't care how good you look.
Yeah, okay.
That would be a tough night.
You know what? Hold on.
What?
I'm really going to celebrate here that Monica, I didn't think she was a shallow person, but she's really just said that she's not shallow. Like, the Eastwood guy is easily like a top three most gorgeous human beings on the planet.
Yeah, he's a beautiful man.
Yeah, he is.
And she's not interested because he can't string a sentence together.
Yeah, truly.
So,
I couldn't handle it anymore.
I'd have to look at... Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I'm going
to
trust
Maybe it's just bad technology.
Scott Eastwood.
He's like in his 30s. He can't be bad at technology.
That's actually very fair.
Like,
I don't know. We know some people here that don't...
In their 30s?
Yeah, we know people here that still use flip phones.
I would rock a flip... I could not go back to a flip phone, but like sometimes it crosses my mind.
Do not talk about the Razr. It's a flip phone with a touch screen. Like it's the Droid Razr.
Mm-hmm.
It's a smartphone,
mm-hmm.
but it flips like the Razr did.
Flips open.
I've seen it.
Like a Star Trek.
I don't like
tricorder.
It. Mm-hmm. Because it's good.
The second one.
No, it's not good. Yeah.
That's right. You get the one, not prototype, but not the beta. You get like the first version or like the first
It's like getting the first iPhone.
You know the middle of that middle of that phone is going to like be all weird and warped.
Right, it's creased, yeah.
And they're going to find how to do that for like volume two or the...
So iPhones were, or Apple's working on it. They just haven't released it yet.
No. Well, Apple's on my list right now.
Been having some issues with that.
I mean, it's an old phone. I've had it for 3 years. I love it. It's been a great phone.
Sure.
It's starting to like do that thing that Apple does.
They break
it. Like, yeah, you've got to get a new
right.
phone.
Yeah. Right. You've had this for too long.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Frustrating, but gosh. Did you have a beautiful Australian?
Oh, yeah. We didn't ask you.
Oh.
You never really confirmed yours, or did we both agree that Chris Hemsworth is
said that I can only think of
beautiful
male actors that are...
Heath Ledger was a beautiful Australian.
Oh,
why can't I think of one female actress from Australia?
You've got Margot Robbie.
Margot Robbie.
Hello.
Don't even
go past that.
Rose from Orange is the New Black. Isn't she Australian?
I don't know. Like Ruby?
Ruby.
Is she? Oh, yeah, she is Australian.
Yeah, she is Australian.
Yeah.
I think so.
She is intimidating.
Which one's Ruby? I haven't seen that show in a long time.
Ruby, the short-haired... Looks like she could beat you up. Probably.
Oh, Ruby Rose. Yeah, Ruby Rose is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Yeah. She's Australian. I think.
What else was she in?
I think you're right.
I think.
She's been in some sweet.
She's been in some stuff.
She was in that Megalodon movie. Never saw Dwight from The Office.
Is that the shark movie?
Yeah, solid voyeur movie if you're into animal violence.
Not so much.
No, like Jaws if you're into like.
Oh yeah.
Creature features.
I don't want to see.
Is that what they're called? Creature features.
I think you just coined that term right there.
I just coined that term, TM, Josh McDonald.
It's a JMTM?
Yeah, it's actually now, that term is actually now owned by the Hagedon News Network. So.
Oh. Hey, Clint, I know you're listening. Don't you mess with me on this one, bro. All right.
We got some local headlines.
Dude, we've got so many
headlines. We got two solid papers here that I'm kind of actually excited to talk about.
Yeah, let's just jump right in.
Friday, July 17th. Actually, hold on, wait, real quick, before we get into that.
Yeah.
Monica and I are chatting about a project that she's going to might be working on.
I am working on it, actually.
Are you actually
Believe
working
it or
on
not,
it?
I am. I got.
Have you had any progress?
I did get a Facebook message back from somebody.
I mean,
what's the project?
Well, thanks for asking. Thanks so much for asking, Josh. I'm working on a little chunk of podcast where hopefully it's going to involve some history of things in the Silver Valley.
Hold on, I want to preface this. So Monica and all of us, we've been throwing around this idea that Monica does like her own like special project or, you know, segment, and we haven't really wrapped around our head around it because a lot of she's getting peer pressured by her friends and family to do something fitnessy,
right?
But she's been wanting to do something history-y.
Well, we don't want to keep Monica in a box,
right? So for the first one, she's doing both
fitness,
yeah,
history.
Yeah. So I got a hot tip from Chance Watson, managing editor of the Shoshone News Press.
Wow, that's a long title.
Second time we've heard that today.
Uh-huh. I'm going to keep saying it until I can say it without even thinking about it. I have to think so hard when I say it. I just want it to be natural. Just want it to be.
I think you need to refer to him as Watson.
Watson.
Like Fleming.
I forgot about Fleming.
Watson, managing editor of the Shoshone News Press.
So he sent me a photo. He's like, here's your first. He gave me a lead, which, I mean, you guys probably don't know this about me, but I've always wanted to be a journalist.
Mm.
I wanted to write for Rolling Stone. And you know what happened?
You didn't.
Com 101. C-.
Dang.
Can't do it. Didn't want to do it. Just gave up.
I mean, com is like speech, right?
Yeah, it was like the first one where like they just talk about like, just like
doing a speech in front of people.
Pretty much,
okay,
yeah. No, that was 102. But anyways, so I got this lead.
Yeah.
And it's about that dance studio out on, what road is that that's out there?
It's the main road going.
Like, it's out by, like, Polaris?
It's in Polaris.
In Polaris?
Right, it's in Polaris.
Is that where Claudia used to run her show?
I don't know if Claudia was ever there, but it's, like, an old, decrepit dance studio, and
it's
so.
Cool. Hold on, I took a photo of it.
I think it's, like, Empire Academy?
Don't pull it up. If you're listening and you know what we're talking about, we very much appreciate you letting us know.
Yeah, send your information in to these guys and they'll give it to me. I'm not going to put my phone number out there because I don't need a bunch of prank callers.
So we tried doing that.
So
and then,
that building's clearly
haunted. Oh, it just says Dance Academy.
Yeah.
It's just a pink sign that says Dance Academy.
Very generic.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out on the limb.
With a pair of ballet slippers.
Haunted.
I hope it's haunted.
And ghosts of ballerinas sound like arguably the most terrifying ghosts on the planet. Because you would never hear them coming.
No.
They sneak right up on
you. They're always tiptoeing.
Yes.
They're probably going to, I mean, if they're like legit ballerinas, like from like Russia or like where they're not eating because they need to stay thin.
Black Swan action?
Yeah.
So, Dance Academy, abandoned Dance Academy out in Polaris. On
did
the
you
main
ever dance out there?
It's technically it's still a rally road for all intents and purposes.
That's kind of what I was thinking too.
It's called something else in the city
it
of Allsburn.
Right up to the trail, right?
But what's that?
It butts right up to the
trail
of the Coeur d'Alene.
Yeah, so it's all old, decrepit, falling apart. So I spoke to somebody who gave me a couple names of people that used to dance there.
Okay.
So it wasn't closed as far back as I thought. You know, how old
really?
It looks. Like, I talked to some folks that are about
recently opened, sort of?
So, like, people, like, a little bit older than me dance there.
Oh, really?
So, like.
So, you look at that building, and it doesn't look like anybody's danced there in 30 years.
Right, and then I've also heard that it was somebody said it was a nightclub. An older lady said, so a little bit different generation said it used to be a nightclub. I don't know if there's any truth to that. Again, still
that
looking
would
into
be
it.
Very, that's a very cool story.
That'd be dope, yeah, I'm working on it. But then, the two The one person that I've actually been communicating with a little bit, I think, is probably, I don't know, like mid-30s, and she said she and another classmate dancer.
Huh. Fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
Well, I look forward to hearing about it.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, super stoked.
So if you have any information...
We could put it into actual print words and put it in the paper.
Print words?
Print words. You can... have you been published yet? You've had stories done about you, but have you had a published story?
I don't think I have.
Well, we're about to help you fulfill that life dream of being a...
bucket list? Podcasting? Journalism?
There we go.
Oh!
Just getting into it.
Making dreams come true.
How exciting.
All right. Headlines. Friday, July 17th. Headline. IDL conducts fire mitigation along I-90. Folks have been driving on Interstate 90, going either way, east or west. Might have seen the standard IDL, Idaho Department of Land's, red trucks on the side of the road with some crews out there taking chainsaws and that kind of thing, cleaning up the side of the road. Some they refer to them as fuels. That's just,
yeah.
in normal human terms, that's sticks and brush, dry brush, and dead trees and that kind of thing. But fuels, in their speak, anything that could catch on fire and cause a larger fire that we don't want to happen.
So technically we could be fuels.
Yes, technically speaking. Yes, absolutely. Spontaneous combustion. so I had a chance to speak with Assistant Fire Warden Chris Myers.
Hey, real quick, I just got to interject.
What's that?
That's my brother.
Chris Myers is
your
brother?
Yeah.
You guys are related to everybody here in the valley.
It's yeah, crazy. I mean, that's kind of what happens when you grow up here. No way. I didn't, honestly, I'm being 100% honest, I haven't skimmed this article yet. So that's okay. Why I'm excited. I saw his name. I'm so excited.
You go through it. I do have a question. Since I know the former fire warden is no longer the fire warden, why isn't he the fire warden?
He might not want to be.
Okay.
But I don't know for sure.
Okay.
I don't want to speak on behalf of him.
No, that's fair. I was just, like, even if he didn't want, like, because I think in my head, like, if a police chief or something, like, when they leave,
yeah.
Like, you've got a temporary police, like, they just move up.
Right.
So he should be, like, interim fire warden.
I would agree. That would make a lot of sense, but my best guess is maybe he doesn't. They offer it, they say, hey, do you want to do this? And he's like no
I'll say assistant fire warden.
Yeah, like, I can't say for certain, but it's almost maybe one of those things where it's like...
Maybe that's his thing. Like, I want to assist the fire warden. They're like, there isn't a fire warden.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Uh-huh. Or it could be one of those things where it's like, oh, you want me to do more for the same amount of money or less?
Okay.
And I don't want to. But I don't know for 100%.
Sure, sure.
I haven't chatted about him.
We're speculating wildly.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my favorite thing. We're going to speculate wildly.
Joan Calamezza there. So.
Joan gotcha.
All right. I spoke with Chris Myers. Was telling me that, so this is actually not something that they did on their own. They were helping out the Idaho Transportation Department. Normally, ITD, outside of COVID, they will send out their own work crews and clean up stuff on the side of the road, not to prevent fires, but to keep foliage and that kind of stuff from growing onto the freeway and that kind of thing, and also to keep visibility clear, so trees don't hang over the freeway, stuff like that. But during COVID times, manpower is definitely limited. So IDL thought two birds with one stone. They'll help out ITD, clear up some fire, some fuels on the side of the road, and get some of their younger wildland firefighters some experience.
You had a picture there of a couple greenhorns.
I was going to say greenhorns too.
That's exactly what it was. Chris's words, a lot of their guys, very motivated, very well trained. But no experience, like some of them haven't even operated a chainsaw before. They need to get to know what it's like working in these hot conditions, sitting them outside.
If you haven't operated a chainsaw by age 3, are you actually an Idahoan?
I mean, I don't know. I it might be in the Constitution, right. The Idaho Constitution.
Yeah.
Yep. Right up there with the sheriff not having to be a cop and...
You can't fish off the back of a giraffe.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a real law, though. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that applies to Idaho, but I think...
The sheriff thinks a real law, too.
I think that's a real Idaho.
It's not Idaho.
That's
thing.
A real thing.
I learned that from Mr. Kimberling.
I think Johnny Town told me that.
Which would make a lot... Speaking of, Johnny Town used to work for IDL.
That doesn't
just
surprise me.
Tying
either.
It in
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Had a hard time with PT. So this was... this makes a lot of sense, because Willie said he saw Chris out by... at the airport, just by himself with a chainsaw and stuff. And he's like, why would he be doing that? But this, if they're helping other people out. So that makes sense.
Right. So, it, I mean, it helps out ITD so they don't have to expend the resources to do that. But also they're making sure, I mean, a lot of our fires, I've got a quote somewhere from Chief Ahmet out of District 2, that a lot of our fires literally start right off of I-90, people flicking cigarette butts. We actually had a very small one that was taken out very quickly in Silverton not too long ago.
Oh, yeah.
But people flicking cigarettes, or, which is actually more the more common one, semi-trucks with hanging chains.
Oh, like a spark?
They'll kick up sparks, and anything that's loose, debris on the side of the road, all it takes is a little bit and that'll go up. So getting rid of a lot of those fuels helps keep the fire down. I mean, it's not, you know, dry grass is dry grass, but you know, if you get the branches, you get the logs, you get the dead
the
trees,
things that,
kind that of
reach
stuff,
other things,
yeah, it'll help it from, keep it from spreading. So this is a good win-win for everybody involved.
All right.
Word. You had the center of the page too, man.
I did have the center of the page. Jumping over, this is just a nice feel-good story coming out of here at Osborne, right down the road, actually. Jamie Sperry has been named the new director of the Osborne Library. Jamie's been there for, I believe, off the top of my head in the story, I said 5 years.
Dang.
As the children's, what is the official?
Children's director. She runs the little children's book club where they get together and read.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we've ran the children's event stuff in the calendar a lot when we used to run a calendar.
Yeah.
So she's already very acquainted with the library, the patrons of every, you know.
Did she know the Dewey Decimal System?
I don't think they use the Dewey Decimal System in there anymore. I could be wrong. Heresy. But I didn't see one of the characteristic, you know, drawers that have all the little file cards in there.
Gosh, I remember when they taught us that Dewey Decimal System.
Oh, they were pretty adamant that
it was like cursive.
Yeah, and it was.
I mean, I'll use this.
Hey,
maybe
not cursive. I love cursive.
Math.
You would like cursive.
My hand, my print, Dr. Josh. My print is illegible. My cursive at least looks fancy.
It looks like the kind of person that should be in Jamie Sperry's little kid reading group with his print.
It's bad. Good. My handwriting is.
It's okay. Your Apple Watch ringing during the podcast.
Sorry about that. It's all my good. Dad.
No, my handwriting is
But your cursive is good?
It's better. It's better than my print.
We'll just say low bar.
No, it's real low bar. Like, it's real low bar.
Word.
That is, that, what does Kitty say in Letterkenny? That is the handwriting of a twisted mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bad. It'd be better if he just cut letters out of a magazine.
It could be, yeah.
But yeah, absolutely. No, that was a solid little feel-good there.
Yes, very much so. So Sperry and the new library assistant, Marcy Williams, they're tag-teaming right now, along with some other help, you know, friends of the Osborne Library and that kind of stuff. They're really hoping to make the library relevant again in the sense of getting the word out, people, letting them know that, A, they exist, B, what resources they offer, and what programs they've got out. Sure. They've been pushing the summer reading program that's obviously been changed up a little bit because of COVID.
I'm reading this thing about the 2020 tween. Teen Video Challenge.
Yes, the Teen Video Challenge. That is going to be a very cool thing that actually, whoever walks out on top with that could end up walking away with $200.
Do you have details on that? What's that entail?
It's in a separate, it's not in the story because there was a lot of details for it. And I wanted the story to focus on Jamie.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the programs, but yeah, I do have the details for that.
Where can people go and find them?
Everybody can go check.
Is that listed
out
in here?
You can call, yes, at the very end, you can call the library and get more information from Jamie herself, or you can go onto their website and find all that information.
Thanks.
On there.
Sorry, I'll let you cover the rest of it. I was just really excited about that.
You're all good. No, there was it's a decent little competition that hopefully they're trying to get more participation in that for sure.
I'll share it. I'm going to go find it and share it.
There you go.
I like when the kids make the content, like the meme pages, and I've seen like a couple of the KHS meme Instagram.
Oh,
you told me to find that? It's money. They're taking a break for the summer, but it's money.
It's, yeah.
Jamie would be...
It helps having a kid in the school so he can explain all of them when I don't get it.
So he can break the memes down.
You should just create a Cervelli memes.
I tried that.
They wouldn't be as fire.
No.
These memes are fire.
These are from kids that are privately being grossly disrespectful.
Right.
And they're hitting home runs.
All right.
So you So if you want to know, you can also call Jamie and find out about it, though.
Fair enough. Okay. Yes, you can also call Jamie. No, but the last thing that she wanted is that she wants community input from people to know what services they would like to see from the library.
Sure.
Any new ones. One of the cool things that they do have is if you are inside the city limits of Osborne, you can get a library card for free. And that library card allows you to download audiobooks for free.
That's free information.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so the audio, I mean, I'm a big fan of audiobooks.
What's your favorite audiobook?
On Audible, I downloaded the entire Witcher series and listened to that.
Mm.
You're not familiar with it.
Oh, I've seen The Witcher.
Oh, really?
I've never read the...
Oh, you saw the Netflix show.
Yeah! Gotcha. No, of course I did.
No, I've read all the books.
Oh.
Please listen.
You play the game?
You just wanted to see
Harry. Did you play the game?
I've played all the games, yeah.
And read all the books?
Uh-huh.
Listened to all the books.
Listen, I'm sorry.
I read the first four, and then I got the rest on them.
How many are there?
Eight? Seven?
I struggle with audiobooks.
I like them for the same reason that I like podcasts.
Yes.
I listen to them on trips over the hill, and...
That's fair. I'll give you that.
Absolutely. Okay, Josh, you got the rest of the front page.
Oh, do I? What are we... Top of the side rail there. Paradise Found! This is one that's going to... I don't know. It's kind
of. Monica's been looking forward to talking about this one.
So the North Fork of the Coeur d'Alene River has
no pressure.
Kind of come back into the old spotlight after a series of events involving the Planning and Zoning Commission and a local group of people who are now calling themselves the Friends of the River Coalition.
Mm.
This is kind of in response to a story we talked about last week, and I don't want to put Monica on the spot. Her day job is she works at the courthouse in planning and zoning, but assistant to the planner. You're not on the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Correct. That's actually a group of people made up of members of the community, so they're volunteers from the community.
Right.
Correct.
So, and I don't want to put her in a spot where she has to like speak to this. So like we'll just kind of
you were directly addressing.
Well, we have you here, so since you're here, can you answer all these questions on the record about the legal ramifications about what happened? Yeah, guys, that's thanks for having me. Of course, I'd love to put my job.
That was the last time Monica was on the podcast. Either that, or she became a full time.
Right, she'll be coming on full time because.
And that's how I ended up podcasting.
Yeah,
full time podcaster, guys. That's how I made my money now.
That's how I beat Shaq. So we wrote a story called Paradise Found, and it's kind of discussing. We saw the comments on the page, so we
saw what you guys were talking about on our last story regarding the
situation
about the RV park being pitched up there.
Yeah,
on the
built
north
right there where the convergence or the what are they calling?
Is that
I think that's correct.
Best way of putting
where
it,
the north and south fork converge. So we ran a poll on our news press website that...
you want to give people the results of that poll?
Yeah, I can find that real quick.
I think people are interested. We're also making it a habit now to run the results of every poll that we run on Monday in the Friday paper. So.
Yeah, so...
We encourage you guys to all go participate.
Please vote. Yeah, so we ran this poll last week, and the poll question was, do you agree with the Shoshone County Planning and Zoning Commission's decision to allow an RV park to be built along the Coeur d'Alene River despite concerns from citizens regarding the land being contaminated by mining pollution? We had four answers for people. The first answer was yes, landowners should be allowed to do whatever they would like with land that they own. That garnered 52 of the 194 total votes, or 26.8%. The next option, yes, but the owner should have the land remediated if they want to operate an RV park on it. That had 34 votes, or 17.53 of the votes. The third option, no. The potentially contaminated land could harm those who camp on it and cause more river contamination. That option only received 24 votes and just 12.37% of the total vote, which is actually the main opposition against the decision.
Mm-hmm.
The final option, no, there are already too many RV parks and campgrounds along the river as it is, received 84 votes and 43.3% of the total vote. And we kind of knew that was going to be it. We live in a place that I think, and that was kind of the theme of the story.
Paradise values found. The mystique and the serenity of
the area. Locals in the area have long lamented the, I guess over the last few years, the best word is gentrification of the river, as it has become basically.
It's been discovered.
It's
by
It's become
people.
The playground for people in other parts of Idaho, Montana, and predominantly Washington, which the Washington folks tend to get the bulk of the hatred.
And to present the other side of that, they do bring in a lot of money.
It does. It and we are a tourist economy, whether people like it or not. One of the things, so as we posted this poll, we received a lot of comments on it from local residents who threw out ideas like toll booths and toll booth sticker programs, added patrol, things like that. Just the boilerplate issues that we constantly talk about when we talk about the North Fork. However, when you discuss this, the county commissioners, God bless their souls and the fact that they get to hear all this on a regular basis, kind of came back with some of their general responses to these things. Toll booths work very well for areas where access is controlled and the number of access points is limited. That speaks directly to the fact that I can count on one hand, there's probably four or five ways I know into the North Fork area. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the main two right there, one in Kingston and one in Dobson Pass, you can be along the river in a special campground within minutes if mm-hmm. you know where you're going.
For sure.
Then there's back roads in through like the Cataldo area and
Fernand
stuff like
Saddle,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean it would be expensive to try and regulate that. The sticker idea is a good idea. And the commissioners had spoken to that. Imposing fees are a very effective way to raise revenue for what are considered additional services up there. They do provide toilets, dumpsters, things sure. like that. And the dumpsters do get used. We've definitely seen that the North Fork has been a lot cleaner.
Another point of contention.
Yeah, another point of contention, though, because then the
locals are not supposed to
locals are not supposed to be using them, even though they try to claim that they're paying for them, but they're not paying for them. That money actually comes from grant money that the county receives specifically for outdoor
sure.
stuff. So it really, it's... This is probably our most contentious situation that we have every year. It is getting a little bit worse.
Like phases of the moon.
Yes. I would say that they are starting to find a leg to stand on, because if you have tried to go up the river the last few weekends, if you own property up there, to get from Kingston to Bumblebee, which is a 5 to 10 minute drive if you're going the speed limit, you're looking 20 to 30.
Yeah,
if you're and especially with the bridge over.
And to be fair, there are extenuating circumstances specifically to right now because of the pandemic and whatnot.
The pandemic, the bridge.
Idaho is flanked by many states that have much more strict regulations when it comes to handling the pandemic than us, and
which
people
is
are
only
leaving their states
home
to
the
escape.
Frustration,
yeah.
of the entire thing.
Yes.
The Friends of the River group that is appealing the decision by planning and zoning to allow that RV park right there along the South Fork. They will be having their first meeting on Wednesday, August 5th. Mm. That will be in West Shoshone Park in Pinehurst. If you would like to be a part of the Friends of the River group, that meeting is in West Shoshone Park on August 5th.
Or just learn more about it.
At 6:30. And then you will kind of... I don't even really know what the meat and potatoes of their group is yet.
Sure.
They're kind of holding that off for that first meeting.
Gotcha. Okay.
Next part of the side rail, Dirty Dog Digs Kitty Cats.
Now, this I can get behind.
Yeah.
I love the Cat Wranglers is my favorite charity.
Is it?
In the valley, yeah. Pet Rescue, obviously, too, but...
So,
I love cats. So
the Dirty Dog Saloon, formerly Dirty Ernie's in Uptown Kellogg there, they had been doing their monthly auctions.
Yep.
And the last one that they were able to have was back in February. At the end of February, they did a auction charity event for the Silver Lake Cat Wranglers.
I think mm-hmm. I was at that auction, yeah.
That was the last one
I
they were able
lamp.
To have. Yeah, he buys lamps at all of these auctions.
Is that your thing, is lamps?
Yeah.
What did it look like?
It probably a random...
It was... It, so, it like... It's a tall lamp, and then it has a minor light inside the lamp.
Okay.
And then a main lamp, or a main light in the shade.
Okay.
And it's always from Twin City Furniture. Mm-hmm. Mike Pierce always donates a lamp, and it never matches the one that he bought the last time. But Chance is amassing this ridiculous collection of lamps because he goes there and bids on them. It started out as a joke, but I think it's become his thing.
I want to get back to this story because I really enjoy it. But I just can't help it. Oh, like, what do you do with the lamps?
Chance Love Lamp.
Where do they go? Do you just have the brightest apartment?
I put them in the darkest parts of my home. I use them to illuminate.
I believe what you said. Certain was a dark Harry Potter quote. The brightest lamps go in the darkest corners.
I know.
I use them to illuminate my home, Monica.
Yeah.
How many lamps do you have?
About from the Dirty Dog Saloon.
You have about four, right? Three or four?
From just three. Auctions, how many lamps do you have?
Three from the auctions.
How many lamps do you have total? Are you in the double digits?
Oh, he actually
one, two,
brought
three, four, five. Six.
You seem like the kind of guy who has a lamp on his side of the bed.
Yep. That was a good call. So seven.
Yeah. And then you brought one from your grandfather in.
I did.
Which that's I do eight. Love that lamp.
I love it's one of those old, for those who have never been in our office before.
The jade green.
Is it it's in, one of our old.
Yeah, it's on the table.
It's one of the old style library lamps with the green shade and the
pole
chain.
Is it a Tiffany lamp?
Is that what it's called?
No, Tiffany lamps are like really rare antique. Okay. Well, it might be. I mean, it'd be super expensive.
His grandpa was alive for like a century, so there's a really
quite literally a century almost.
It could be very rare.
Just shy.
So the Cat Wranglers had this auction. Chance bought a lamp, as per the usual.
I'm not going to let that go, but I'm glad we know that now.
And they raised $2,100, but they, because of COVID and, you know, money, everything kind of stopped. They weren't able to do their check presentation until just last week. So we got board members, Cat Wrangler board members, Rainey Gilbert and Julie Zook, along with the Knaws, Mike Knaw, Kirsten Knaw, and Linda Knaw presented the check on the deck there, and I got to go hang out with them. The Cat Wranglers are pretty cool. They're like Batman. Like they're there when you need them.
Yep.
And this funding kind of allows them to sit idly by and wait until they're needed. And then when they're needed, they have to, you know, quite literally wrangle cats at times. And then other times it's just, you know, they have cats that they need to get over the hill to like the Kootenai or Spokane Valley Humane Society to get spayed or neutered.
I've been told that before my time here, like the feral cat problem was actually like a severe problem here in the valley.
Really aggressive cat population.
Was it?
Okay. Mm. I mean, in Kellogg alone, there's just so many wild cats.
I was ready for it.
I know, I saw you.
I was like holding my breath for that.
Yeah. There it was. Okay.
Go Wildcats.
I like that.
He's
yep.
been back to back.
I like
weeks.
That.
But anyways. He took a hiatus.
He did.
He had some seasonal affective depression, I think. Pun said
feel
it was
that.
Sad.
I feel that speaks to me. So they just got their check, and basically you're saying they hang on to this check because, like
they have to drive these cats to be spayed and neutered. So it's transportation, it's food, I'm assuming that the spay and neutering.
So does it pay for that?
Costs
service?
Something. I don't know that the Humane Society does it for free, but I think last time I wrote a story about it and they were doing like spays and neuters for like $10.
Okay.
Like they provide a discounted rate for groups like this.
That's pretty cool.
And then these cats, you know, they have to get adopted.
Mm-hmm. Nobody
or placed, I guess, is the.
It breaks my heart.
Sad word.
Nobody, I mean, not nearly as many people like cats as dogs. So that's why I like the Cat Wranglers so much, because they're advocating for, like...
You have a cat.
I do have. I wish I had multiple cats, but it's just not an option right now.
Barry
but,
Kitten Pants?
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah.
That's the guy. That's my guy.
They do.
But
like
they they have a lot to... I mean, I don't have a ton of factual information to back this up, so I could research it, but I feel like... The Shoshone Pet Rescue, they get dogs and the dogs are just like out of there, like no problem. Mm. Especially now, like COVID, you need a buddy. Like okay,
Monica, you're the personality on the show. You can speculate wildly.
Oh yeah, I'll just throw it out there. I don't have any.
You made a cat noise when you thought about that. Yeah.
I did. That's for, play that for your cats and they'll come running, they'll listen to the podcast with you. But they need, I feel like they need a lot of help, and that's why it's cool that the Dirty Dog does this, because it's huge when they're taking care of animals that are, I mean, I don't want to just make it sound like they're objects, but it's hard to move cats. Like, it's hard to push cats.
Cats can be real jerks.
I won't deny that.
Like, their personalities are so much, like, you get a dog, like, you can have, like, an aggressive dog, and it's like, oh, this is a single dog home. This dog needs to go to a single dog home. Like, cats, you're like, yeah, this cat is, like, he has, like, an aversion to sunlight, all types of cat food, and really genuinely doesn't like human beings, but he's a great snuggler. And you're like,
oh. Why are you just describing me? Why are you just like, you know me?
like these cats are like, okay, I want to adopt him, but I'm scared that, like, maybe we won't like each other, or, like, he won't like the food I provide for him since he doesn't like all kinds of cat food. Like, they're hard to place. Like, Monica's not wrong here. And that was something that Rainey actually did say, that cats can be tough because they, like, cats have such weird, like, specific personalities. Like, you know, two cats are the same.
Well, it's like, another huge thing is, like, obviously, like, if you don't train a dog, you can tell when someone hasn't trained their dog, and it's like, oh, that's a bad dog, but really it's a bad owner. Maybe that dog had a bad life, and you can kind of train cats. So but so many people, like, cats are temperamental, so, like, if they're peeing on something or scratching something or doing something that they're not supposed to do, it's usually because there's a different issue. So, like, people get a cat and it starts peeing all over the place, like peeing in closets or where it's not supposed to, and then it ends up that it's unhappy for some reason, and people don't look at it that way. They're just like, oh, this cat is, like, pissing all over my furniture, I'm gonna throw it out,
right?
And then it gets picked up by the cat wranglers. So once you understand that, like, yes, cats are a-holes, but you gotta figure out why they're being a-holes,
right?
And that's the, right, that's the journey.
And now there's $2,100 to help the wranglers continue to do their work.
Love it.
To both spay, neuter, and figure out why cats are a-holes.
Awesome.
So
study cats.
Yeah. So bottom of the front page, new numbers could mean the savings for local homeowners. This is a kind of an interesting story. If you are a resident who's been in the Valley for a long time, you have, especially on the west end of Shoshone County, and you're a homeowner, you have likely been paying pretty expensive annual flood insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now with some new data from the Army Corps of Engineers, there's a good chance that that flood insurance could either be going way down or completely disappear if they can get some of their new data certified. So there's four, what do they call it? They have four types of, like, floods that when engineers build things and consider things, there's, like, four types of floods that they talk about. Well, there's probably more, but there's four that we're talking about. So there's, like, your 10-year flood, your 50-year flood, your 100-year flood, and your 500-year flood. These aren't so much like guarantees that you're going to have one every 500 years, but it's like the probability. Like, your probability of having a 500-year flood is like 1 in 500. So it's like a slim probability. Well, back in the day when they first started measuring this back in the 70s, they actually had like one of those really monstrous, horrible floods. And then when the first FEMA maps were brought into place, they only had a small sample size of data. So that small sample size of data made it look like a 500-year flood was going to be a much more common occurrence here. Well, since they've dug the channel that the South Fork of the Coeur d'Alene flows through now through the city of Kellogg, and then before it, like, it flattens out just past, like, McDonald's and those apartments, and then kind of it actually got moved back against the mountain, if I remember right, to where it runs against the hillside there through Smelterville. Or maybe it got moved from the mountain in Kellogg into the channel.
Mm.
It got moved.
Mm.
But anyways, the way this channel is designed, it's designed to handle when that fills up. So, like, in the early spring when the spring thaw happens and you can see that the water level has risen, sometimes considerably, sometimes you don't really notice it at all. The numbers that FEMA is working with are so outdated that in their head, if we were to have a 500-year flood, there's a good chance, like, the entire town of Kellogg is, like, underwater. Like, you don't even see houses. But with the new data that they have, the channel that the South Fork of the CDA River runs through actually could handle a 500-year flood if it were to happen. But the problem is those numbers have to get certified by FEMA. And to do that, which this seems sketchy to me. It's going to cost like $40,000 to get those numbers certified.
Mm. Sounds about right.
Like you have to pay them for them to say that your science is correct. But that's not science in my book. But this could dramatically change like things for like real estate and home ownership in the valley, especially on the west end there, Kellogg, Smelterville, the people that live on the like in some parts of Pinehurst, and some parts of Pine Creek. This could be a really big deal. So something to kind of keep in the forefront of your head if you're a person on the west end of Shoshone. You better be reaching out to your city councils and, you know, encouraging them to try and chip in to help cover that $40,000 cost so that those numbers could get certified and you might be able to save a few thousand bucks every couple of years.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good news.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting. Hey, Chance.
Yeah.
Actually, I asked you this already.
You
did. I'm going to ask Monica.
Okay. Yeah.
Monica, do you like to wash your car?
No.
No?
No, I mean, I don't like to wash it myself, no.
Do you like a clean car?
Oh, heck yeah.
Okay, well, you should go check out Silver Valley Tire. And if you purchase 10 car washes from Silver Valley Tire, you receive one for free.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah. They have a high-powered car wash that does it all for you. Soap, rinse, wax, protective coat, and lastly, a nice dry as you leave the wash bay. Your car comes out clean, looks great. So if you want to get the Subaru sparkling, you should just head down What?
She is a diamond in the rough.
She's a good-looking car. Take her down to 407 West Cameron Avenue in Kellogg, Idaho. That's where Silver Valley Tire is located.
So you're telling me that I can wash my car without me having to wash my car?
It's like a ride. You need to drive through it.
Honestly, like, when I need a minute, especially now, it's a cheap way to get... I mean, I can't really afford therapy, even though Lord knows I need it. So as a replacement for that... I like to go on the car wash.
So you just put on like two songs from the Goofy movie soundtrack and just...
Know it. Maybe a little Enya.
Yeah, just while you... Just
yeah, and I just let the car wash at Silver Valley Tire right there in Kellogg.
Beautiful. Right,
I let the machine wash my car and I get to just chill out for a minute.
Perfect.
That's nice.
Yeah. Thanks, Silver Valley Tire.
There you go.
You're helping me on many levels.
They also do brake jobs and oil changes and all that jazz.
Yeah, they changed my oil, too.
Perfect.
And they welded some stuff under my Subaru, so thank you guys.
Boom.
There you go.
Friday or Tuesday headlines.
Yep, Tuesday, July 21.
Yeah, so we headlined with This Is Real Life. Over the last year and a half, so before we started the podcast, we actually wrote our first story in this little adventure here. We were driving through Pinehurst and saw that a sign had gone up in the giant piece of land that's between what used to be the Goose in the Tree Cafe and Brood Awakening. Mm-hmm. And there was a big sign that says, Future Home of Real Life Ministries. And I think everyone was like, wait, what?
Right.
So, you know, reached out to Pastor Gene Jacobs and he told us the plan to, you know, get the place going. And then back in November on a the same day that we actually went to afternoon delivery.
Mm-hmm.
It was the same day they had their groundbreaking. And it was a cold morning, but we got out there and got a groundbreaking photo. We
did.
And 8 months later, they had their ribbon cutting. And now there's this massive, beautiful building in like right as you pull into Pinehurst. Like
it is massive.
You were saying it is arguably...
It's the nicest building in the valley.
Okay.
No, there's no questions. I got to take a tour of this thing. This thing is spectacular. Like 200 people showed up to this ribbon cutting to kind of celebrate it. They're all like members of Real Life Church. You know, I can't really say for sure that social distancing guidelines were followed, but I do know that I saw some people wearing some masks. This building is just big. It's got this big, beautiful, polished concrete front porch. Inside the lobby is a place that, like, I wouldn't be surprised if there's not times where Chance and I go work there. Like, it's just nice. There's an indoor playground for kids.
McPlay place here?
Yeah, it's real nice. They're kind of, it's like a low-key, almost kind of taking some cheating off the Croc Center a little bit.
Okay.
You know, with the indoor park and the classrooms and church and all that stuff.
Sure.
Not the basketball courts or like the workout facility, but a lot of the more...
Do they have anything like that in this building?
Like a workout or...
Like a gym?
No.
No, okay.
But they have a giant sanctuary that they probably could mount basketball hoops on the side, and it would be very similar to what Real Life has done in other locations.
Okay.
They also... I mean, so this chunk of property is 9.5 acres. They put the facility right up against the street, put parking around the whole thing. They actually have access off the dike road there that runs, you know, the little shortcut to the other side of Pinehurst.
Is that where, like, the dirt jump park was? Yeah. Is that them? Is that their property? Or
So they bought, basically, there's Brood Awakening, and then that's Brood's property, and then everything else Real Life now has. And they even have, like, a little pull-in right there where you can turn off the dike road in there. But they're going to develop around, so they're going to add stuff to this facility. They even have a stage off the back of the building that will be used for, like, outdoor church services and outdoor events.
That comes in handy for times like these.
Right.
Absolutely.
You won't have to do stuff at, like, drive-ins. They also have, like, a movie screen in their sanctuary because they want to do movie nights both indoor and outdoor. It's just a really nice building, and the people there, Gene and Christy Jacobs, are really good people. I take the religious component out of it, and they are just happy to have, like, to give the community something that they can use. We don't have a lot of really quality community gathering points. Places like VFWs and steelworkers halls have kind of faded into the past, mm-hmm. and schools aren't, you know, terribly willing to let people into them right now. So really, your churches are your places that have rooms big enough for people to occupy.
Absolutely.
And this place has probably the nicest one in the valley. So yeah, ribbon cutting went really well, and it's just kind of nice. It was fun to watch that project start and finish. And so excited for them to have their new building.
I have a quick question that's...
I have a quick answer for
you. Just for my clarification. Yes. Is this Real Life Ministries tied into the one in Coeur d'Alene, or is it separate?
So
that's a good question.
Because I've heard different things, and I just want to know for sure.
So according to Gene Jacobs, the pastor, when they founded the church back in whenever they founded it, they founded it under the eldership of the organization in Post Falls.
Okay.
But in 2011, they broke off.
Okay.
So they were allowed to maintain the name. Okay. I don't know if there's something behind that, legal ramification or anything like that, but they are complete. They don't rely on the Coeur d'Alene Post Falls facilities for
funding
or anything like that. They're completely self-standing.
So they basically just kept the name.
Kept the name and
probably
a lot of them
like
are,
the like, overall.
Yeah,
which is definitely themes. Yeah.
Okay.
So
thanks.
Yeah, it's a little it's different, but you know, they seem to have a I hate to say a following, but they've amassed a pretty solid following here in the valley, and they do a good job with the people that they work with. And you know, if the building, the quality of the building is anything like the quality of people, it should be a win-win for all of us.
Absolutely.
Oh, did I have the center?
You have the center too.
Ah, the Jeep Festival crawls right over COVID-19. Big fan of that headline.
Very good.
Pun Santa doesn't need to come out twice in one episode, though.
I mean, it's your podcast, so.
I feel like poor Monica's just little heart couldn't take it.
Well, I could take it.
Fitness instructor. She's probably got the best heart in the in the room.
Best cardio in here.
Yeah, easily. So the Mullen, the little town.
The Mullen.
The Mullen.
Drop the. Yeah. It's cleaner.
Yeah. Oh.
Mullen.
The social network reference.
Up there in the Facebook.
Yes.
19th annual.
19th annual Silver Valley Jeep Jamboree up in Mullen.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually didn't know this was a thing. Like, I just thought that people got together in Mullen and Jeeps.
And drove Jeeps, yeah.
Just because, you know, when I think of Mullen, I Jeeps are right there. They go hand in hand.
Right.
Along with, you know, occasionally shooting a gun at your neighbor's house. Just kidding.
Shout out to
an
old case that we wrote about.
An old story. An old friend. But I got to talk to Mayor Don Kochevar, who was just thrilled about the event, kind of talked about some of the high points. So basically these people roll in on Thursday, and probably sooner than that, because Thursday morning they get to go on like a tour of the valley.
Mm.
And this tour shows people where the trails are that they're going to be riding over the next couple days. And then they come back and they have to go through like an inspection to make sure that their Jeeps are like trail rated and don't have anything too big, too aggressive, something that's not working properly that could contaminate the ground, stuff like that.
Sure.
And then for the next, you know, 2 days, they go on these incredibly long trail rides, two big trail rides per day, all over the valley. I saw them in Pinehurst actually on Saturday morning and was like, what's going on here? it's just a cool event. There were 97 Jeeps that were there as like trail riders, and then there were another 40 that were there as like trail guides, and like they would ride intermittently. So if you had a problem, you got a hold of one of the guide Jeeps, and they could either fix you up or they could get you out of the way so everyone could go by and then fix you up. So a grand total of 137 Jeeps crawling around the mountains.
That's pretty good.
From Thursday till Saturday evening. They had big group dinners in the East Shoshone Park in Mullen so that they could maintain some social distancing. According to Mayor Kochevar, though, one of the cool things about this is you know, they talk to, they poll almost a number of their riders and just how much money you spend when you come on this adventure. And, I mean, just to register for it is like $750 per Jeep. Mm-hmm. But then each family that comes in is spending at a minimum of $1,000 in the community while they're here. Mm-hmm. Be it on groceries, lodging, restaurants, whatever it is that they're doing. So, you know, $100,000 during COVID-19 is kind of a big deal. And the reason that it was a big deal that it happened is, you know, a lot of these people coming from other states, these events can't happen. Even though they're outdoors, even though they're in cars, yep. Like these events can't happen. But in Idaho, they still can. And I would, a lot of people get upset. Well, why are they coming here? Well, you know, I don't really struggle with the idea of, you know, people in Jeeps crawling around the mountains. It doesn't really bother me. I don't think you're going to see a huge COVID explosion from Jeepers.
But if they're spending the money here and they're going into restaurants and stores and...
As long as they're being respectful, that was my next point.
Sorry about that.
With the masks.
I'll let you get to that.
No, you're good.
Go ahead.
I appreciate your passion there. I could see it.
See it in my eyes?
Burning in your
eyes.
I'm
going to form a group.
Oh, friends of the... Just kidding. But anyway, they spent a lot of money here, and really respectful. The Mullen Athletic Department actually used the event as a fundraiser and hosted a car wash.
I like that a lot.
So they hosted... a car wash, and they made like $2,500.
That's rad. Nice. That's good Jeeps. Stuff right there.
That's just smart. You know, when you're in an area that you can't tax the heck out of your people for, you know, athletics, you have guys like Stetson Spooner who are like, you know what, let's wash some cars. Mm-hmm. And you get rich people on Jeeps coming into town. Let's make a little money there.
Good old fashioned car wash.
Yeah, good old
saves the day.
Yeah, like dodgeball. Yeah.
Well, guys, if an impromptu car wash doesn't raise $50,000, I don't know what will.
I don't know what
will. We haven't had any customers except for that guy who keeps making Justin wash his
All right.
But no, so it was a good event, and it just a positive, I think, for a community like Mullen to be able to host this event, mm-hmm. and pull it off, you know, seemingly without a hitch. So as long as we don't see, like, 10 days from now, a giant COVID outbreak in the Silver Valley, then mm-hmm. we can at least make sure we didn't have to blame the Jeep Jamboree.
Right.
Yeah.
But it does sound like, from what I was told, that a lot of the people that came from out of state, because of the fact that they're from out of state, they were wearing
taking
masks
proper precautions.
Just because they're conditioned to do it in their state,
sure.
So they're going to do it in other states.
Sounds right. Speaking of COVID... I've got the side rail here. Protecting those at risk. First County COVID hospitalization prompts renewed focus on the elderly. So as of... Oh, well, we've had noon today. I suppose I could have pulled up Penn Mental Health District here.
I just got an email.
Yes, they are holding a meeting on Thursday to determine whether or not we're going to have a mask mandate in the district.
Oh, boy.
Which is
someone going to hack into this? And
we're going to get... So that,
no mask.
That's going to be... That story, we're going to have a full wrap on that story on Friday, but yeah, we can talk about it.
I saw that picture, and I was like, had no context for it. And I was like, what am I looking at right now?
Okay, so they haven't put out an update today. That's strange.
Although I was laughing, because when I first saw it, I'm like...
Usually, they've changed it to be out before 5, so it's not out yet. But in any case, so as of July 20th, Shoshone County jumped up to 27 total cases, 25 of which were active. Of COVID-19, the only, while, you know, escalating numbers are never good, this is a daily update kind of thing, whereas the newest development on this is that we've had our first confirmed hospitalization.
Mm-hmm.
A Wallace man in his 70s is currently in the ICU in Missoula. battling very, very strong COVID symptoms. So this is just basically a reminder that in this whole debate about all of the, you know, COVID and whatnot, it affects people. We've talked about it on this podcast ad nauseum, how it affects people differently. What is fairly consistent, though, is this is very dangerous for old folks.
Mm-hmm.
So to kind of re-stress that and to let people know, I spoke with Dr. Lawhorn at Shoshone Medical Center again. He had some great quotes for me. Let me flip to A6 here real quick. Let's see here. In regards to the at-risk patients over the age of 60, the mortality rate is incredibly higher compared to the general rate. It is still evolving, too. I estimate it could be from 11% in the general older population to as high as 30% or higher in the nursing home populations. So to kind of back up his statistics or his estimates, I checked out the CDC and their table showing COVID deaths involving COVID-19. As of July 15th, the CDC said that there were 121,374 deaths that involved COVID-19. Now, I say that I'm choosing my words carefully there, involved COVID-19, meaning, you know, there's people out there saying that the numbers are inflated, and based on what state officials you talk to, the definition of what a COVID death is can be loose a bit. Sure. But in any case, regardless of what it is, these are the involved deaths from COVID. 121,374. Of those, 97,459 are individuals 65 or older. So that's just over 80% of COVID-involved deaths are of people in that at-risk category. So this is definitely something that, and as a local example, coming out of, let's see here, Montana, reported by the Associated Press on Monday, 12 residents from Canyon Creek Memory Care in Billings, Montana.
Wait, Memory Care?
Canyon Creek Memory Care.
Like an Alzheimer's clinic?
That's unclear. That was not said in the Associated Press article.
That's so sad.
Billings, Montana have died. 12 residents have died from the respiratory virus in the past 2 weeks. Yellowstone County health officials said that the latest two victims of the virus were a woman in her 80s and another man in his 80s as well, who passed away over this last weekend. The facility has lost 1/5 of its 59 residents since June 6th.
Good night.
1/5 of its 59 residents?
Yes.
Wow.
So the 12.
Like 12 people.
Yeah. So, this is not an uncommon story. This is just the one that I picked out of,
because nursing homes are the,
like, nursing homes, in the early days, when I wrote the story, the COVID updates, like in March and April, it was very, like, there was the epicenter for Washington was a nursing home, north of Seattle.
Yeah.
And it lost, I think, you know, over 50 residents.
Right.
In just one place. So this is definitely dangerous. I included a graphic just to kind of back up these numbers. The CDC says 8 out of 10 COVID-19 deaths reported in the U.S. have been adults 65 years or older.
Wow. Yeah.
So this is definitely something that I just want to stress this to everybody should be wearing a mask. Everybody should be, you know, taking the normal precautions you would to not get sick. But really want to stress this to the older folks. Like, this is, you know, if you're a young guy and you want to roll the dice, you know, that's your prerogative, I suppose. But if you're an older, if you're in that at-risk category, you really need to be watching out.
Yeah, you probably, more than likely, because people are trying to avoid the masks and fight the masks,
right,
you might think about not going out. I know that sounds terrible and terribly unfair. Reach out to people, though,
but
because
that's just
there
life.
Are people willing to help.
Right.
You know, if there was an old person who needed help and they got a hold of the Shoshone News Press, like, hey, we need somebody to, like, deliver groceries to us. Like, I don't know if you know who runs the Shoshone News Press, but she's, like, the nicest person in the world.
Pretty
She'll
much,
probably
yeah.
get your groceries for you and drop them off at your house.
She would do that.
So
just to drive this point home, I've had conversations with Dr. Lawhorn and with Superintendent Nancy Larson. And as they, Josh, you'll be covering this saga as we get up closer to it, but the back to school committee,
yeah,
it's very much apparent now that, you know, early on obviously the natural instinct is to protect kids. You know, that's our number one priority.
Right.
As we creep closer and we learn more and more about this and we look at the statistics, the kids are, I know it sounds weird to say, but they're less of a priority.
The kids are all right.
Kids are going to be fine.
That's where I thought he was going to go with that as well.
I like that. Kids are all right. It's the teachers who are truly at risk here.
The teachers.
Teachers, staff members, you know, support staff, mm-hmm. bus drivers. I mean, these people are the ones who are truly at risk that could actually be sick and hospitalized or worse, you know. So they're the ones that we're actually really worried about during this.
Yeah. It's a scary situation. Yep. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Going off of what Monica said, we're talking about the Panhandle Health District meeting that happened. I don't know if we ran that story on our inside or not. Last week, Panhandle Health's board met to discuss a regional mask mandate,
right,
which relates back to the poll that we just put up that people should go on and participate in.
That's getting a lot.
Oh, yeah.
We're
absolutely.
At 100 votes already.
Absolutely. That meeting was plagued by hackers, protesters, and general hecklers.
Someone actually hacked the PowerPoint and with like a paint tool painted no masks into the graph.
On the slides, yeah.
Yeah, as hilarious as it was.
So the decision to mandate masks was tabled, and it sounds like it's going to be repicked up this Thursday. So when you guys listen to this tomorrow, we'll see if that happens. The mandate would affect Shoshone County as well as the other four northern counties.
Do you think that the hacker succeeded in thwarting PhD?
That's what it was.
They're he got a couple more days mask free.
This guy's Microsoft Paint skills are...
I mean, I don't know if they thwarted anything. I think it was more like, it wouldn't be surprising if, because they can't have a meeting like a, they can't have it like a private meeting.
Yeah.
They can do stuff like an executive session.
Yeah.
And now that there's been a showing of protesters and people hacking into it, it wouldn't surprise me to see some sort of mitigation process go into effect to keep people from doing this.
Yeah.
My prediction is that this, the mandate from them will not be followed through, but immense pressure will be put on local officials to pass
the problem. And I don't think we have time to get into this.
No, we'll
move
on.
We know exactly the reason why is it's impossible to enforce.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll even set that for maybe next week. We can discuss
Kootenai County Sheriff Ben Wolfinger made that point very clear, which is, you know,
it's unenforceable.
He's not necessarily against it. It's the fact that how are you going to enforce this?
Sure.
Yeah. So there's the practicality of that, but in any case, we'll have a more in-depth look at that after the meeting on Thursday. So we'll talk about that next week.
All right, you had the next bottom of the front. Information sought on stolen ATV.
Yes, somebody stole the, I wouldn't say famous, but
that's famous.
The famous ATV of Mr. Jamie Baker. Owner of the Red Light Garage in Wallace, Idaho.
Jerks.
Jamie has been seen driving all over town in this thing all the time.
Grocery store runs, to and from the house.
Yep, everybody knows this. Thankfully, a camera that was in the office was able to pick up the person, the individual that took
the
ATV.
He had the ATV in the office?
What's that? Yeah, they have like an office that he parked it in. And unfortunately, the keys were in it too.
Oh.
Yeah, so it was easy.
Broke into the office and then...
This guy, he came in about... So it was stolen last Thursday, and the guy came in about an hour before he stole it and scoped it out, saw it, just wearing a t-shirt, just a normal guy, then came back an hour later wearing a dark hoodie, but didn't change his shorts or his shoes.
Yeah.
So
it's like...
He's got a calf tattoo.
He has a calf tattoo, like a very distinct calf tattoo on his left leg.
Sounds like homeboy needed some tall socks.
Yeah.
Or just a
or pants,
maybe changing,
perhaps.
Major, a change your costume. Yeah, I don't know.
A better criminal, man. Come on.
I don't know. In any case.
Information is being sought.
Yes.
Oh, okay, so they haven't found it yet.
No.
As we talk about this right now. The ATV is described as a... Let me pull that up here. Described as a 220 Kawasaki red four-wheeler.
It historically had two like milk cartons.
It's got two milk cartons on the front of it. Sure, the seat's bit taped up a little bit.
I'm sure those are no longer on there.
No, probably not. In any case, if you have any information about this theft, contact the sheriff's office at 208-556-1114.
And if you know anybody with a skeevy calf tattoo, call the cops.
And a goatee.
Yeah, call the cops if you know anyone with calf tattoos.
And just in general?
It's like a Clark Kent situation where he was just like, no one will recognize me if I put on a hoodie.
Yeah.
And glasses.
Literally. No, here's Monica. You can, if you're interested, find the photo, find the story. It's like, this is when he came and scoped it out, and this is when he came back in. He literally did not change his bottom hat.
Yeah. So, last part of the front page, Silver Mountain hosts Northwest Cup. This is part of the a very popular bike series. One of the only downhill mountain bike series that is actually happening nationwide.
This one was a little special.
It was kind of a big deal. Sounds like they had close to 400 people on the mountain, which is a little disturbing, considering that there are a few witness accounts that say proper
social distancing was not practiced.
So that is a little unnerving. And most of the people, if not, I would say a healthy 95% of the people who participate in this are all from not here. But either way, the race happened. Probably the biggest event that in terms of total participation that is going to happen in the Valley all summer. It happened. We had a couple locals race in it. No one local finished higher than 21st, I would say 19th or 21st. But it is just another kind of, Silver Mountain's kind of been throughout all this. They opened right when they were able to open, and they've kept their tourism season alive and well.
Yeah, they're popping.
Yeah, throughout this entire COVID ordeal.
For better or for worse.
For better or for worse. I would definitely say, in terms of health, it might be for worse. But in terms of the economy, probably for the better.
It's a bittersweet deal.
Yeah.
So. If you... Yeah, I don't know if it would ever come up again, but Ella Erickson, who lives in Hayden...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how old she is. But I mean, she's under 18.
She won the women's pro, correct?
She is, I know you maybe aren't necessarily, as far as sports go, maybe not super into mountain biking, but keep an eye on her.
But you know a guy who is.
I know a guy who is. and he knows Ella, and I mean, he's in the scene, but, and I'm not super into mountain biking either, but Ella Erickson is an amazing rider, and she is going places.
Yeah.
So you will want to keep your eye on her because she's probably going to be a really big deal.
Perfect.
And she's a young kid right now, which is even more amazing. So yeah. Anyways, it's kind of, and she's somewhat local, not wicked local,
she's regional.
Yeah. So
she's North Idahoan.
Yeah, absolutely.
And she won the women's pro.
I was told that she's there almost every day at Silver Mountain.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she's a ripper, so
definitely.
Yeah, good for Ella.
Josh, you got one inside piece of content to just give
a shout. Oh, yeah, the Silver Valley Storm football program is taking registrations. As right now, junior tackle football seems like it's still happening, like we talked about with the other COVID things. Originally we thought kids were, something that we needed to protect, and we still do.
Sure.
Because they can catch it, but they're not, nearly as
susceptible to severe symptoms.
So saying that, a lot of the local junior tackle programs have decided to move forward with their football seasons, Storm included, and they're taking registrations for little football players grades 5th through 8th. So if you have a little football player who wants to play in the Storm team here anywhere. So from Rose Lake to Mullen, anyone can play in the Kellogg Storm football program. You just need to get a hold of Corey North. He is the program coordinator, and his contact information is 208-512-1673.
Perfect.
Gosh, a lot of headlines. My goodness. A
lot of headlines.
But we like it that way. Hey, if you're looking for a refreshing locally made beer, check out Radio Brewing at 319 Main Street in Uptown Kellogg. They're offering curbside pickup, first come, first serve seating in the beer garden. Receive a can of Lookout Lager for $0.01 with the purchase of an entree. They are open Thursday through Monday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Closed Tuesday and Wednesday. Radio Brewing, put radio in your mouth hole.
Perfect. All right.
We've got an interview finally.
Yeah, we do, and it's kind of a cool one. You're going to meet somebody new today.
Yes.
So.
I mean, new to us too.
We're going to meet somebody new.
Absolutely. Yeah. Here we go. All right, let's jump into it.
Who is it?
We're interviewing Jordan, the new
sales representative.
Shoshone News Press sales representative.
Get out of town.
Yep. Yeah. We're going to put her on the spot, ask her about her.
So she doesn't know. Does she know yet?
She knows she's on it.
That's it?
Yeah.
All right.
That's about it. All right, let's jump it on over.
All right.
This week's interview is brought to you by Julie Zook with Silver Legacy Realty. It's a great time to sell your house because inventory is low. Julie Zook with Silver Legacy Realty is a lifelong resident of the Silver Valley. She's a local realtor who is connected and knows every nook and cranny of our beautiful community. Contact Julie at 208-659-1764. She is your best friend in real estate.
Hey, we're here with our interview. We've got Jordan Thomas, the Shoshone News Press's newest marketing consultant. Jordan comes to us by way of Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a lot of people.
Elko, correct?
Elko.
Yes.
That's right.
Elko by way of Winnemucca.
Yep.
Perfect. So, Jordan, thanks for coming in and talking to us.
Thank you.
I'm excited. I know this is always... I don't know. Have you ever done a podcast before?
I never have.
Yeah. Did you want to? Was it always like a dream of yours?
Has been, yeah.
So, Jordan is...
Are you originally from Nevada?
Born and raised in Winnemucca.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So this is, real first time you ever lived outside of the state?
No, actually. I went to school at Utah Valley University in Orem, Utah. So I lived there for 3.5 years.
Okay. What'd you study?
Then I studied speech communications.
Okay.
So pretty, and a minor in history, obviously.
Right.
Got to squeeze that in everywhere I can.
Solid.
And I actually lived in Aberystwyth, Wales in the United Kingdom for 9 months to get my master's degree in American history.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Do they appreciate how we portray the American Revolution over there? Or are they still pretty sore about losing?
They're still pretty sore about it.
They're still pretty sore about it.
They are.
I wondered.
They really hate that we changed the spelling of a bunch of words, like ER instead of RE. It really bothers them. So
that's interesting. Yeah. The only experience I had with Wales was I watched an episode of Archer, and they were like driving through Wales, and the sign of the town, it's like all consonants. Like, it's just a bunch of, like, you can't even say it, and they're like, where are we?
Yep. There's a weatherman on YouTube who can pronounce the name of that town.
Okay. Fair enough. I like that. Very cool.
Spelling, huh?
So.
It must suck to be wrong.
Right.
Yeah, we won the war. We get to determine how you spell things.
History is definitely written by the victor.
Yes. So that's actually, that's pretty cool.
What
was it like there?
Wet. It was very weird for a desert girl.
Yeah.
like a Seattle kind of thing.
Yeah, it rained all the time. Yeah. I had to buy my first ever raincoat to move over there.
Oh.
You actually utilized it.
I did a lot.
It wasn't an accessory.
So you've come up here in the summer, so you can still get some hot weather, but you're going to be in from a cold awakening here soon.
I've been worrying about that.
Oh, yeah?
What are winters in Nevada like?
It's a cool 70 degrees.
No,
We get really, really cold, but we don't get a lot of snow. Okay. And if we do, it melts off in like 2 days.
Mm, gotcha.
Okay. Yeah, that doesn't happen here. Although, no. You know, we're in July, and I think today is got to be either our first or second 90-degree day.
Mm-hmm.
We're behind what we normally are. This is not, as is everything with 2020, it's not normal. So the weather, not at all.
But. Among the many things that we're very excited to have you here, by the way, one of the many things that I'm excited to have you be a part of and whatnot is I'd like to talk about a story about how the Silver Valley and like the mining towns of Nevada have such a close relationship. Because they really do. I mean, mining is, there's only so many places that you can have a mine.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, the earth basically determines where you can have an operation and whatnot. And a lot of those people, you've got miners that go from the Silver Valley to Elko, Nevada to, you know, Alaska. Those type of areas. And there's people cycle all around.
Right.
And even back in the day, in the Silver Valley's heyday, you know, that was a big deal too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, keep going.
No, I was just going to say, it'd be very cool to work with you and, like, figure out that. I'd love to hear that history. One of our top,
One of our top, I mean, looking at social media and looking at all of our platforms, we've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. Elko, Nevada is one of our top cities that still, the outside of the Silver Valley, of course. Yeah. They're one of our top cities that read us stuff because that's just a mining. I mean, they were probably from here at one time mm-hmm. when, you know, the Silver Valley had over 20,000 plus people at one time. They had to get mining jobs somewhere else. So I wouldn't be surprised if they went down to Nevada.
Yeah. My grandpa actually worked at Bunker Hill after it shut down and then went to be a geologist in Nevada.
There you go.
Interesting.
Yeah. Have you ever seen like a 3D model of the Bunker Hill, like how it spider webs out?
I haven't.
It's worth looking at.
It's crazy.
It's unique for sure. did you come here directly from Elko?
I did, yeah.
How long were you in Elko?
I worked at the California Trail Interpretive Center there, and I worked there for about 4 months, and then I left and went to Wales, and then I just hit my 2-year anniversary there for the second round.
Okay.
Tell us a little bit about that.
The Interpretive Center?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It is fantastic, actually. I'd always wanted to work there. It basically tells the story of the pioneers coming across the country in the mid-19th century for the California Gold Rush.
Oh, wow.
So... it was a really cool site, a state-of-the-art facility, and it was
awesome.
Very, very kind of similar to what we have at the Cataldo Mission. Have you been out there? I don't know if you've been out there yet.
I haven't yet, but I've read about it. We didn't have any artifacts on our site. Mm. The word interpretive is kind of weird. Nobody really knows what it means.
Sure.
But it basically, it was all big dioramas and interactive exhibits.
Okay.
That told the story of the westward migration.
Gotcha.
Fantastic.
So there's not too many artifacts up at the Cataldo one. I mean, there are.
The mission itself.
The mission is one big artifact.
It's one big artifact.
That's a very good point.
But so you were in Elko, I mean, when the Lucky Friday went on strike and all those guys took off. I mean, did you back in 2017? Was it 2017? When the strike began, did you notice a major influx of 2017, 2018, 2019, a large influx of Idaho people suddenly
trying to find work
in your town? A bunch of Idaho license plates in your town?
We did see a lot of Idaho license plates, Winnemucca and Elko.
Yeah.
There you go. So,
yep.
A lot of people around here looking for work
had to take their town somewhere.
Yeah.
And that's where they ended up. So I always get curious about that. What are you looking forward to most? I mean, you took a job that you, admittedly, this is your first one.
Yes.
What was your reason behind wanting to come up here to North Idaho?
My grandparents actually live in Sandpoint, so we've spent our summers up here for as long as I can remember.
Gotcha.
So it's not your first time jumping in,
you know, head first kind of thing. Gotcha. Uh-huh. Okay.
I've always loved it up here, and I love small communities, so I was really excited when a job was available in the Silver Valley. Yeah.
Cool.
So I'm excited to get to know everybody and
go to all the museums. How's things been so far?
Fantastic.
Awesome.
I've been paddleboarding like 5 times.
Have you?
We talked about that earlier. She had said she'd been paddleboarding 5 times, and that's about 5 more times than you could ever do it in Nevada.
Right. Yep.
So she's only been up here a week.
Yeah. And actually, like, clean water. That's nice. The reservoirs in Nevada are not very clean.
I'd say clean's a relative term.
Clean's relative.
It's
pretty.
Much cleaner than what I'm used to.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
good. Don't drink it. Don't drink.
No, water. Don't drink it or don't eat any of the
fish.
Don't
let it get in your mouth. It's bad. It's bad news.
Well, it just depends on where you are. Like if you're like up
Burke. If you're at Canyon School, don't drink the water. There's arsenic in.
There's arsenic in that water.
Good to know.
Good.
No, it just depends on where you are, like in the valley, and where the EPA has done work. Like Burke Creek. Did Carrie ever take you up Burke?
She didn't, but I drove up there on Sunday, actually.
Okay, so that creek that runs through Burke Canyon, it's not treated or anything, and it still runs through the Star Mine. That's way up Burke.
Mm-hmm.
That water is, like, if you look at it, it's crystal clear. Like, you can see straight through it. And, like, through movies and everything, you're like, oh, that means it's really clean. But if you notice, like, nothing grows in it at all, and the rocks are, like, burnt. Brown, like chemically burned brown.
How does the water burn the rocks?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Like literally, no algae or anything grows in that water. Yeah. So there might be. It's not the greatest, but
yeah. It's,
yeah.
So you got to take a tour, though. A little mini tour of the valley.
Yeah, yeah. Carrie took me on a tour.
Carrie took you around?
Yep.
Cool.
Got to see. What's your favorite town so far?
I really like Wallace so far. All the history. I'd read a lot about Wallace before I came here.
When you first get to the town, Wallace is always definitely the tourist favorite for sure. When they come in. After that, I don't know. Wallace definitely has the coolest, like, historical stuff that's still standing.
Wallace got the scenery and all that, and the stuff to kind of do. Pinehurst is really nice.
Yes.
Pinehurst is kind of a place.
You get that small town vibe in Pinehurst.
If you spend a little bit of time there, it's one of those places you want to be.
Mullen's definitely underrated, too.
Mullen is underrated. Mullen's a lot of fun.
Mullen's definitely underrated, in my opinion.
And if you ever are in need of a good burger,
yes.
Mullen has, like, the best cheeseburger in North Idaho.
It's good to know.
Yeah. You get yourself, like, the biggest, best cheeseburger up there. And then Kellogg, you know, if you need to buy a car.
We do have a place
you could buy a car.
Yes. You even know someone that could buy a car. Yeah.
I do, yeah. My brother works there.
There you go.
Perfect.
So, that's what his tour of the Silver Valley consisted of. We drove through and he said, that's a Dave Smith parking lot and that's a parking lot.
He's not a very good tour guide.
No, Carrie's was a little more informational.
Yeah. Did you find a place to live?
I did.
Cool.
I actually live in Osborne.
Oh,
half mile away. Yeah.
There you go.
Not too far.
I've never gotten to walk to work before, so that's nice.
That is very cool.
Yes.
That is awesome.
Are you a bike rider?
You know, I was in Utah, and then I really didn't ride mine at all in Elko because I didn't have a place to store it. Oh. So I'm excited to get back in.
Trail of the Coeur d'Alene allows for many opportunities for that.
We rode from Mullen to Kellogg on the 4th of July.
There you go.
Oh, there you go.
So,
there you go.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That's a nice ride.
It is. It's beautiful.
If you start up there, it's all downhill.
That was the best part.
Yeah, that's really nice.
So with the news press, obviously, you're up in advertising with the advertising folks, but any things you look forward to here, or goals or projects that you want to, I know you'll be maybe helping us out here in the podcast room, mm-hmm. or something, like we said, maybe an editorial contribution here and there.
Yeah.
Anything in particular on your mind?
Carrie mentioned that I might be able to help write some history stuff.
Yes.
So I'm really excited about that.
Awesome.
Any excuse to read more books and learn something new about history.
Oh.
And
you mentioned that we could use a book reviewer.
Just want to hug her.
I know.
I would totally do that.
We totally need a book reviewer.
There's so many things that we want
to
do.
Shout out to Keith Dahlberg. He was our book reviewer for a very long time. But he's since given that up, and now we could definitely use. We just don't have time. Leisure reading for us, it's so far few in between. We have time to do it. And we have people that, you know, we've got a lot of good local authors.
Yeah.
That we have always wanted book reviews from. The last one Josh did was, he was happy to do it, but that was a children's book that you can
it was a children's book, and yeah, that was the thing, is it was a children's book, and that's the reason we were able to do it. It wasn't even so much a review as it was just get to know the author kind of thing.
Yep.
You
mm-hmm.
know, and the inspiration for the book. We have books that we want to review, and we want to and everything that gets done here is history tied in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
So if you need stuff to read, we can help you. We can facilitate that for you. That's really, really exciting. And the history stuff, we always talk about it. Project stories with history. I think Chance and I both have probably two or three that we've always dreamt of doing. But when you are the only two people doing news, the projects tend to fall
project
by the wayside.
Stories,
you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, anytime you're looking for a project, I'm sure we'll be able to help find one.
I'd love to help.
Absolutely. Well, and in the history stuff, too, I mean, it's so, the history here is so rich that you'll have never a shortage of kind of stuff. We'll have to take you to the Wallace Library, where they've got every paper on microfilm going back to late 1800s.
Wow.
Yeah. From the variety of papers around.
We'll have to take her up to Murray.
She'd love Murray.
My brother took me to Murray.
Oh, yeah.
Very Molly cool. B. Dam actually featured in a program I gave at the Trail Center several
no way.
Times.
Perfect.
Yep. So it's the first place he took me, was to see
there
all the Molly B. Dam stuff.
Yeah.
Murray was the county seat for a little while.
Wyatt Earp was the sheriff.
Oh, really?
For a while.
Yeah.
Crazy. He's someone else that mined in Nevada for a while.
Yeah.
He was all over the place.
Yep.
But yeah, no, we can... Yeah, this is fun. The start of a brand new, wonderful relationship. I know I am super happy to have you here. I know Chance is super happy to have you here. Thank you so much for coming and chatting with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, we'll have you again in soon.
Okay.
Cool.
The Route of the Hiawatha and Lookout Pass are now hiring summer positions. Bike renters, guest services, cashiers, trail marshals, vehicle mechanics year-round, and bus drivers. You can apply in person or call them at 208-744-1301 or email jobs@skilookout.com. Lookout Pass is an equal opportunity employer.
All right.
Regional headlines.
Moving into regional headlines.
All right. So I'll kick it off. I'll take the first one. Take the lead there. Yep. It's coming out of the Coeur d'Alene Press. It's a sports story, but kind of a different sports story. Headlined, Person nabs pro title at Farragut State Park event. The sport in question, disc golf, by, let's see here, it looks like Jeff Carr, a special to the press. Because this is kind of an obscure sport. The Coeur d'Alene Press didn't send anybody out to cover it, but it's kind of a cool event.
Uh-huh.
The inaugural Project Cutthroat Disc Golf Tournament at Farragut State Park ended with a wire-to-wire winner. First-round leader Jared Person of Coeur d'Alene fended off a late charge to win by one stroke over Jace Foster, one of two golfers to post the day's lowest round score. Person shot 1 under par 66 for the day, as well as the lowest round of the tournament and the first round 63 to secure the one-shot win. So disc golf is basically the same rules as regular golf. You have each hole has a par number, par 3, 4, 5, and I don't know if it goes up to par 6. But you basically the person to get the disc into the cage with the lowest amount of throws wins. I've seen some of this stuff. I don't know if you have. Uh-uh. They have like bags that they carry their discs in, and they have like they have drivers, they have putters, they have. I mean, they have everything like a different disc for every situation. Just like you have a golf club for every situation.
Sure.
Farragut State Park is like the perfect park for this, though. I mean, you have natural obstacles with trees, hills, some waterways, things like that. This is just a really cool event. And, you know, a person won $510 for his victory. So kind of a cool little event that happened up there.
I dig it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Let's jump over to this coming out also of the Coeur d'Alene Press. This one actually fairly relevant to Silver Valley people. Wolf Lodge Bay development questioned. The Idaho Department of Lands will be holding a public hearing at 6 p.m. Thursday, so tomorrow when you guys listen to this,
yeah.
Over the proposed construction of 150-by-10-foot commercial dock, 200-foot mooring stations, and 120-by-80-foot commercial work area on Lake Coeur d'Alene in Wolf Lodge Bay.
Mm-hmm.
The commercial navigational encroachment permit filed by North Idaho Maritime LLC and John Condon received pushback from the Kootenai Environmental Alliance, which says the development could harm the fish and wildlife habitat, aquatic life, recreation, aesthetic beauty, and water quality of Wolf Lodge Bay. In the written objections, Kootenai Environmental Alliance Environmental Program Director, wow, I'm going to say that again. I got it right, but I want to say it again just for dramatic effect. In the written objections, Kootenai Environmental Alliance Environmental Programs Director Amy Anderson points out commercial development's potential to negatively affect native fish populations and encroachment on waterways. Lake Coeur d'Alene is designated critical habitat for bull trout by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. It is also a native area for cutthroat trout and kokanee spawning, which are species of concern in Idaho. According to Anderson's letter, Wolf Lodge Creek is also a critical salmon habitat, and the construction necessary to fill the permit objectives would disrupt the salmon spawning habitat with a higher level of boat and barge traffic than ever before. The hearing is offered in person via phone or through Zoom. Additional information is available on the Idaho Department of Lands website.
Yeah, I've been seeing the signs when you drive to Coeur d'Alene. There's the little billboards there.
Save Wolf Lodge Bay.
Yeah.
Yep.
I guess according, like, and then I got to fact check this, but my wife said that there's like several different species of birds that
migrate to the area as well. I just saw swans hanging out there recently.
As well as like a fish breeding ground.
Okay.
But so if this happens, that fish species could die off and so could several of the bird species because they're symbiotic together.
Interesting.
The birds eat that specific fish, and if if this area
changes up, it could mess with the ecosystem.
It messes with the ecosystem in multiple directions.
I wouldn't be surprised.
So that's kind of a cool, interesting little tidbit.
Yeah, there. Absolutely. I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. We'll follow that story. That I'm sure that means a lot of people to hear over the valley too.
Sure. Yep. Hey, if you're in the market for a new or used automobile, please contact Mitch Alexander at Dave Smith Motors in Kellogg. Mitch's team will take excellent care of you, and Mitch can also help you with your financing. Call Mitch at 1-800-635-8000, extension 1214. All right, regionals continue with a story out of the Bonner County Daily Bee by Keith Kennard. And this one, kind of a hotbed of activity right now in Hope, Idaho. Feds raid Hope home, arrest three people. Feds right. raid.
Yep. Oh, yeah, this is the drug bust.
Yeah. Three Bonner County men have been indicted. Wow.
Say, they've been indicated.
They've been indicated.
And indicted.
Yeah. Ooh. Three Bonner County men have been indicted by a federal grand jury in Coeur d'Alene for conspiracy to distribute methamphetamine. Larry Jr. Hillbroom, that sounds like a winner. Mm-hmm. Morgan Kinney and Sean Robert Wathen were taken into custody Wednesday by agents from the United States DEA, the Drug Enforcement Administration. According to the U.S. District Court records, the arrest came after agents reportedly raided a home on the Hope Peninsula where the three men were living. Hillbroom, 36, Kinney, 34, and Wathen, 48, are scheduled to make initial appearances today in U.S. District Court in Coeur d'Alene. The indictment alleges the trio conspired to distribute the addictive stimulant from 2015 to February 2016. The indictment contains a criminal forfeiture allegation, which requires the suspects to relinquish any and all property, including cash, that was derived from the commission of the distribution offense. Federal prosecutors are moving for the three to remain in detention while the case is pending because there are risks that they may attempt to flee to avoid being prosecuted, or that they would attempt to obstruct justice and intimidate witnesses. The government further argues that they should remain in custody because the conspiracy offense can result in prison terms of 10 years or more if convicted. Hillbroom is the scion of the late DHL worldwide shipping magnate Larry Hillbloom. Scion. Is that son?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I think so.
What an amazing... Keith Kennard. That sentence right there. That is a Pulitzer-winning sentence.
I like that.
He even got magnate in there.
I like that.
Wow. He was prosecuted in the Micronesian country of Palau in 2017 for distributing meth. That whole sentence. Hillbroom is the scion of late DHL worldwide shipping magnate Larry Hillbloom. He was prosecuted in the Micronesian country of Palau in 2017 for distributing meth. Good night. The case was investigated by the DEA, Bonner County Sheriff's Office, Bureau of Indian Affairs, Coeur d'Alene Police Department, Idaho State Police, U.S. Border Patrol, and U.S. Marshals Service, according to U.S. Attorney Bart Davis. Holy smokes. The federal meth conspiracy charge is punishable by up to 20 years in federal prison, a maximum fine of $1 million, and at least 3 years of supervised release.
Wow.
That's nuts.
That is nuts.
That's a story.
That is definitely a story.
I want that sentence to be read over and over again. That was solid. I feel like that guy is definitely a disappointment to his shipping magnate father. What do you got over there for your last...
Let's take a look here. I've got Neighborhood Dispute Leads to Shooting by Reed Perry, Coeur d'Alene Press.
So this actually, let me preface this. This is a story by the Coeur d'Alene Press, published by the Coeur d'Alene Press, because it ended in Coeur d'Alene, but the shooting actually happened in Montana.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So some news from our neighbors to the east.
Gotcha. Okay. Two birds, one stone.
Yeah.
A man is in the hospital and another is in custody after a shooting in Heron, Montana near the Idaho border. According to a report from the Sanders County Ledger, 36-year-old Edgar E.T. Torrey was shot in the back during a neighborhood dispute. The shooting happened Saturday, July 11th. Tiffany Lewis, Torrey's sister-in-law, stated that six shots were fired and one struck him in the spine. Relatives of Torrey reportedly returned fire before recovering him and driving to Noxon High School, where he was transported by helicopter to Kootenai Health. Family members of Torrey said he was given 6 pints of blood and underwent emergency surgery. Family friend Michael Young lives in Post Falls and hopes to raise awareness of the fundraiser to help the Torrey family. According to Detective Martin Spring with the Sanders County Sheriff's Office, suspect Michael Delaney... was taken into custody and is facing 3 counts of assault with a weapon. Delaney's bond was set at $500,000. He's not getting out anytime soon. Delaney and Tory, who are neighbors, have disagreements in the past, the ledger reported. Sanders County Sheriff's Office reported the investigation is currently ongoing. According to a fundraising page set up by the family, Tory has been moved from the ICU but is paralyzed from the chest down. Oof. As of Monday, more than $7,000 has been raised for the family.
This is
a link to Tory's family fundraising page can be found in this link.
That is some, like, ghetto-level...
Yes.
Hatfields and McCoys shootout. They, you know, had to return fire before they could send somebody out to pull him behind cover. Like, this is not normal. This isn't so your rudimentary shootout, man. That's some craziness. Hey, Silver Peak Espresso is your one-stop shop for all your caffeine needs. Located at 100 Main Street in Smelterville, Silver Peak Espresso is veteran-owned and operated. Come grab a coffee, smoothie, frizz coffee, otter pop, or maybe just some chocolate-covered espresso beans. Be sure to follow them on Facebook or Instagram to track their weekly Double Punch drink specials that change every Monday. Silver Peak Espresso is open Monday through Saturday, 6 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., and on Sundays from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Perfect.
So... we actually have a little promotion going on right now, rolled out earlier this week, called Silver Valley Shining Stars. And this promotion, kind of the brainchild of our publisher and fearless leader, Carrie Alexander, it is basically the Silver Valley, or the Shoshone News Press, is looking for shining stars throughout the Silver Valley. And those shining stars are people who are dedicated to helping our community through their work, volunteerism, being neighborly, generous with their time and talents, and then recognizing them. It's kind of one of those things where you have to submit, like, the person. There's an app or like a form that you fill out, and they're accepting these through July 27th. So if you have a person that you want to nominate as a shining star, you call the office, 208-752-1120. And you need to include the following information: your name, your phone number and email address, the name of the person that you're nominating, why you're nominating them, a photo of them, and then we will publish all of the Silver Valley Shining Stars that were submitted in our July 31st edition. Carrie would like to celebrate and honor members of our community who are making a difference. So it's really a... kind of a cool thing she's got going on, just a way to recognize people through all of this COVID nonsense. Man, we've had some people step up and do some really cool stuff. We've had some people step up and I can think of right off the top of my head, if Candy Gilmore doesn't get a shining star, then I don't know what this world's coming to.
She definitely needs one.
You know, if our schools, for the way that they manage the situation early on, you're not considering them shining stars, that's just lunacy. So, you know, think of those people. You know, maybe it's not COVID related. Maybe it's like the story that we saw where the FedEx guy saw the elderly gentleman mowing his lawn and was struggling to mow his lawn. So he went up and while he was working, he mowed the old fella's lawn for him. Like, these kinds of things. These are the things. Maybe it's just neighborly. But get those nominations in. So I think that's about to wrap it up
for us. I think that's where we're at.
We've had, this was a heck of a podcast. It was girthy. We got to, We got Monica back in. We had some laughs. We talked about some serious stuff. We had some real hard news. We had a great interview with our newest, call it what it is, our newest family member here at the Shoshone News Press. I think Jordan is going to be an awesome fit here, and all you business owners and people out there who get to work with her, I think that's going to be she's going to take care of you guys. Absolutely. So yeah, I'm excited, and Chance, I'll let you wrap it up.
Perfect. All right, everybody, we appreciate you guys listening in. Please like, comment, and share all of our stuff. All the stories that we talked about today on the podcast you can find at www.shoshonenewspress.com or the corresponding sister papers that we have where we talked about them in the regional headlines. Please leave us a nice review, especially on iTunes. We really appreciate that. Those really help us out, get more noticed, get more people listening to the podcast. And we really just, you know, again, thank you guys for listening in. We're a small town podcast trying to get the news out there to let people know what's still going on in the Silver Valley. Having a few laughs along the way, and we appreciate you being along for the ride.
Perfect. Well, once again, we'd like to thank this week's title sponsor, Bank CDA. What's your relationship status with your bank? It's time to go steady with Bank CDA. You want local? You want flexible? You want Bank CDA. To learn more, please visit bankcda.com.
Gotcha. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening in, and we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.